2019 Deloitte Executive Compensation Report, which is now in its third year, was released today. It takes a look at the observable trends in this area, focusing on issues like whether executive pay is in line with company performance. And there's also the matter of context. South Africa is known to be a highly unequal society, but of course the experts say that corporate executives are highly mobile and can therefore fetch a good pay packet for their skills elsewhere. So it's a given that their remuneration will be on average much higher than your average person because their skills are deemed to be scarce. Well, to tell us more about the 2019 Executive Compensation Report, I'm joined on the line by Tyrone Janssen. He's Associate Director for Human Capital at Deloitte Africa. Thanks very much for joining us, Tyrone. So what trends did you observe around executive compensation in 2019, especially in terms of ensuring that reward correlates with company performance?
Thanks so much for having me, and good evening to all the listeners. So some of the trends that we have, this is the eighth year of our analysis, going back across the JAC top 250 listed companies. And by in general, there is a broad correlation in what we like to call performance and reward, where the performance of the company is linked with the reward of executives. However, I think, you know, in the mid-tier companies, what we do see is certainly some change or step change, where there's definitely not a clear link between performance and reward between some of the executives and pay that we're seeing in the market. I think that was also reflected in our results last year as well. Certainly the largest companies do appear to be some decent linkage between executive pay and reward, but I think where it breaks down is in some of the mid-tier companies.
There's always the issue that executive pay is seen as obscene, especially in the South African context. Yes, we know about the issue of scarce skills and all of that. But how can corporates get the balance right, or how are they trying to get the balance right from a perception perspective?
I mean, again, it all comes down to performance versus the reward. I think if a company is doing extremely well, you can justify the overall pay for the executive because the company tends to grow. Your employees benefit in the growth of the company, and likewise, you expect your company, your executives be paid in line with a market rate for their skill set, which is a skill set, a scarce skill set. Executive leadership certainly is acknowledged that there aren't many decent leaders and executives out in the market, and they do need to be paid well. As far as the pay gap is concerned, I think what firms need to be careful of and be wary of is making sure that where the performance is not there, that executives are not then paid significant or very large bonuses that are perhaps not justifiable in the current environment.
Yeah. So give us a sense of executive wage increases. In 2019, on average, what was the increase? And I know it's very difficult to say because there are lots of factors in an executive's pay packet.
Yeah, sure. I mean, it's when you look at the factors, it could be everything from a guarantee package to your variable incentives. And the variable incentives is often where the large payouts occur. But overall fixed pay increases, you know, in 2019 tended to be between 5 and 6%, depending on the firm and the industry. Now, again, I'll caveat that in that, you know, it really does depend on the current industry and firm. But that being said, I think, you know, where, you know, some of the concerns raised by certain shareholders both here and abroad is, executive pay increases that are either above or in line with a rank and file employee. You know, I guess one of the points that people make is that, you know, 5% on a 10 or 5 million rand salary is ahead of a lot more than a 5% on 100,000 rand, as an example.
Absolutely. And just coming to the issue of shareholders, of course, for the last number of years, we've been hearing that there's been a lot more activism around, you know, executive pay in that regard. What were your observations there?
Well, it's a good point. There has and hasn't been. I think, you know, there has been in the press some cases where shareholders have expressed some pretty outlandish concerns. However, that being said, if you actually look at the voting patterns of institutional shareholders on rent policies and implementation reports, they don't appear to be showing a significant step change as of yet. You know, just looking at some of our research shows that about, you know, between 80 and 90% of most REM policies implementation reports are actually voted for. So that will suggest to you that, you know, the institutional shareholders are not voting against the REM policies and REM reports currently.
And also, you know, the issue as well is that even if you have very active shareholders, in many instances when they vote, their vote is really, it's non-binding. So the board can just decide to go ahead willy-nilly, even though, you know, shareholders have expressed that they wouldn't want this or that action.
Correct. Now, I guess this is where we kind of diverge from, you know, places like the UK or Australia, you know, where it's kind of a binding vote, in particular the UK, with the binding vote really does have some teeth. And I guess the debate is out there on whether, you know, we should be looking to have a binding vote on the voting thereof. You know, I think King IV has moved the needle significantly. There's a hell of a lot better reporting out there at the moment. The understanding around executive pay is a lot better. And I guess, you know, you'd have to argue whether a binding vote would change the behaviors. You know, it's up to really the board and the REMCOs to determine and be the custodians of executive pay and ensure that it actually aligns both the shareholders' interests but also the interests of the company. And I think, you know, if the board and the REMCO gets that right, I don't think a binding vote will actually matter, as long as the board does their stewardship correctly.
Yes, yes. You touched on the King IV report. The King Committee has pushed for companies to implement the single figure incentive. Just explain to us what that means exactly, and has it taken off at your top JSE-listed companies, for example?
In most instances, firms are reporting a single-figure standard, and what a single-figure standard is basically reporting on what the executive receives in totality. So that would be your guaranteed pay or your salary, as many people would know, but also your variable pay as well. So what an executive actually receives in that one given year. Now, what we're kind of advocating at Deloitte is to look at a single-figure standard to become the norm. So basically a combination of all three elements summed up together to form to inform the debate around what is a fair number for executives. I think one criticism in the past is that many firms will target individual market benchmarks, not only a guaranteed pay element, but also for variable pay elements in both short-term and long-term incentives. And that then often leads to inflated benchmarks and ultimately an inflated outcome. So in our view is, let's look in totality at a reasonable guaranteed pay and a variable incentive mark, and then say, right, let's inform the debate thereafter. You know, many firms are going through different business cycles, and you should actually change your pay mix in line with your business cycle and also your strategy. Not every firm should have a long-term incentive, as an example. Not every firm should have a share scheme. You know, these are the kind of things that we're starting to challenge as Deloitte.
Yeah. And then one last thing, as a female, are female executives being paid the same as their male counterparts?
Our report doesn't cover gender equality. We haven't gone into the gender lens. That being said, for an executive role, CEO, our report doesn't identify any disparities across the board from a gender perspective. We need to look further into that.
Okay, Tyrone. Thank you very much for your insights, sir. That was Tyrone Jansen. He's Associate Director in the Human Capital Department at Deloitte Africa.